Since 4 o'clock, people have been confessing their Brexit obsessions. We're going to carry on this conversation between now and six. I was partly inspired to do this today because I heard from a friend of mine last night who texted to say she'd come to the end of a Netflix series that I'd recommended to her months ago. And she wanted another recommendation. And I replied, why has it taken you so long to watch whatever it was, 12 episodes? And she said, well, because I'm spending 24 hours a day watching the Parliament Channel. Obsessed with Brexit, taking over her life. Steph, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. So what about you? You can text 84850, tweet at LBC and call 0345 6060973. We'll get to more of that in just a second. We're partly inspired also by this piece in the Washington Post recently and in the New York Times today. Commentary that says Britain's gone mad over Brexit. Thomas Friedman writes in the New York Times, if you can't take a joke, you shouldn't have come to London right now because there's political farce everywhere. In truth, though, it's not very funny. It's actually tragic. What we're seeing is a country that's determined to commit economic suicide but can't even agree on how to kill itself. It's an epic failure of political leadership. The words of Thomas Friedman of the New York Times. What do Americans make of our Brexit situation? Reporting for LBC, live from Washington, D.C., our U.S. correspondent, Simon Marks.
Well, Eddie, as you know, there are few more respected American voices on international issues than Tom Friedman of the New York Times. And in the newspaper's Wednesday edition, he offers that blistering critique of developments in London. And he brands the Conservatives a party that wants to disconnect from a connected world. He also directly questions the often voiced claim that the Trump administration is going to be able to deliver on a trade deal with the UK shortly after Brexit occurs. Listen to what the President's National Security Advisor John Bolton said in an interview on Sky News over the weekend.
President Trump is eager for the will of the British people to be carried out.
To hear him tell it, the Trump administration is positively salivating over the possibility of printing up a new bilateral trade deal with the UK and getting the signatures inked.
People who worry about the UK crashing out of the European Union, that's the phrase they use, they're going to crash right into the United States. We're standing here waiting to make a trade deal with a United Kingdom independent of the European Union.
But Tom Friedman in the New York Times argues that's hogwash. The White House, he says, is playing the UK, believing that America can take advantage of a Britain desperate for a trade deal and secure far more generous terms than it gets when it's negotiating with a combined European Union. But there's also a very practical matter about a trade agreement. Listen to what President Trump said just yesterday about the biggest trade deal he's negotiated so far, the USMCA, the agreement between Washington, Mexico, and Canada.
It's one of the biggest trade deals in the world that we've just done with the USMCA.
It is indeed, but what President Trump doesn't always seem to appreciate is that the deal isn't in effect, because like all bilateral trade agreements, it requires ratification by Congress. And with Republicans and Democrats anxious about the precise terms of the agreement, there is no timetable for that to occur, nor any guarantee it will ever, in fact, come up for a vote. So even if Britain can get a trade deal negotiated with the White House, it could be a very long time before it comes into effect. Which is why there are so many other voices within the president's own Republican Party saying, hang on a minute, have we thought all this through?
You know, President Trump and John Bolton are in the lonely minority of American voices supporting Brexit.
That's former Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns. He served in the Republican administration of President George W. Bush.
Britain was the country that could translate the Americans to Brussels and translate Brussels back to us. You were the second largest economy in the EU. You were the strongest military in the EU. You were the sanest voice on difficult foreign policy challenges. So from an American perspective, we're weaker if Britain leaves.
Well, Democrats are largely standing on the sidelines, allowing those Republican disagreements over Brexit to play out publicly. One Democrat presidential aspirant, former Congressman Beto O'Rourke, a darling of the younger generation of Democrats, was asked about Brexit on the campaign trail last weekend.
Do I have a position on Brexit? No, I don't. I mean, I think it's in the world's interest to strengthen our alliances and our partnerships. The more breakups we see, the more isolation we face, the harder it is going to be for us to face our common challenges.
Sounds like maybe he does have a position on Brexit after all. That New York Times piece ends with an apology by columnist Tom Friedman. He says he's sorry to be so despondent. A cri de coeur, Eddie, at the end of an article headlined, "The United Kingdom has gone mad."
Simon Marks, our US correspondent.